So if you're new with us or you haven't joined us, we're in our series, the Book of Revelation, to the King and to the Restoration. To the King, he's coming. And that's what we're looking forward to. Next week, we're going to be dealing with the we're going to do kind of an eclectic message next week. We're going to do kind of some mini messages. We're going to be talking about the mark of the beast, the dragon, and the 144,000. All right. So show up next week. It'll be fun. We'll do some mini little topics in that because I know probably everybody's waiting, you know, to know what that is. But be praying for that. Coming next week, we'll be sharing how even in some of those harder parts of Revelation, there's hope that the King reigns and the King is supreme. And with that, so we'll be talking about that next week. But today we're going to be talking about the millennial reign of Christ. That's what we're going to be talking about. And we're going to be talking about our second Assemblies of God fundamental truth dealing with the end times. And it's the millennial reign of Christ. And the millennial Christ is this. It says this in our Assemblies of God, our theology. We say the millennial reign of Christ is this. It's the second coming of Christ, which includes the rapture of the saints, which is our blessed hope, followed by the visible return of Christ with his saints to reign on earth for 1,000 years. And that is the millennial reign. How many of you have heard of the millennial reign? Maybe you've read it in your Bibles, you've seen somebody talk about it, right? And there's some different views on this, but we're going to go through what is our belief on that. The two main views are either this is a literal 1,000 years or it's metaphorical, all right? Now, the Assemblies of God believes it's literal, and I believe it's literal. I think it's a little reign because if you look at the metaphorical, or what we would be called the amillennial reign or belief, it says that, well, Satan's already been bound for all this time because it says in this passage that Satan would be bound. Well, since Jesus ascended to heaven, Satan hasn't been bound. We all know that, right? I mean, let's look at America. We know Satan's not bound. So I believe, and somebody's like, God, we believe it's a literal 1,000 years. Now, first question I probably was going to ask, well, what are we going to do during those 1,000 years? Well, we're going to get to that. But Scripture doesn't tell us the exhaustive list of what we're going to do. It just has a brief description. So I'm with you guys. All I know is that we're going to be with Jesus, and we're going to reign, and it's going to be awesome. We're going to have our renewed bodies, and I don't know what he's going to have there. He might have sweet tea. He might have Alfredo's pizza, and we will reign. We don't know, but regardless, church, we get to see the King. And all that's going to pale in comparison to what we're going to do when we see Jesus. So once again, I don't have all the answers. The AG doesn't have all the answers. But we're going to go through our belief on what is the millennial reign of Christ and why was it say the second coming of Christ includes the rapture, but which is our blessed hope. I want to encourage us in all this, the second coming of Jesus, that's the blessed hope. Not knowing the rapture, not knowing who the beast is, not knowing the mark, not all these things. All these things are good to know and study and to look into. But church, it is seeing Jesus. That alone is the blessed hope. And we talked about that today in our Sunday school class. We said we all have dreams. We all want to see the grandkids. We all want to pay off your house. You know, go to see your retirement funds come in. You want to see your grandkids. You want to see your kids grow up. You want to go on adventures and vacations. And all that is great, church, right? To the King, right? All right, I want to go on many more hiking trips. I want to see the mountains of the West. I mean, beautiful things God made. But however, church, if God made all that, we said this morning, if God made all this, And this is still so good, but yes, this is corrupted by the curse. What's this going to be like when he comes back and the curse is lifted and it's redeemed? That is more exciting than all this good. And I've seen all your beautiful faces. That's more exciting. What is the mountains going to be like when they're redeemed? What's it going to be like to hang out in relations and have fellowship and hang out and eat together and when the curse is gone? I mean, what's that? That's the blessed hope. And so that's what I want to encourage us in this and during this millennial reign is that it's going to be something better than we can even think or imagine. And today we're going to go through what Scripture talks about. So here we go. So let me jump around here. So look, turn within your Bibles to Zechariah 14:5. And let's go ahead. And Drew, we're on handheld number one. Make sure it's unmuted. Thank you, sir. All right, Zechariah 14:5.
And you shall flee to the valley of my mountain, for the valley of the mountains shall reach to Azal. And you shall flee as you fled from the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. Then the Lord my God will come, and all holy ones with him.
Matthew 24:27.
For as the lightning comes from the east and shines as far as the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man.
Matthew 24:30.
At that time, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and all the nations of the earth will mourn. They will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory.
Thank you, Char. Revelation 1:7.
Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. All the people of the earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen.
Amen. We shall see him. Revelation 19, 11 through 14.
I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse, whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and makes war. His eyes are like blazing fire. On his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in the fine linen, white and clean.
Thank you, Dave. Revelation 20, 1 through 6.
And I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the abyss and holding in his hand a great chain. He seized the dragon, that ancient serpent, who is the devil, or Satan, and he was bound for 1,000 years. He threw him into the abyss and locked and sealed it over him and to keep him from deceiving the nations anymore until the 1,000 years were ended. After that, he must be set free for just a short time. I saw the thrones on which were seated those who had given the authority to judge. And I saw souls that had been beheaded because of their testimonies about Jesus and because of the word of God. They had not worshipped the beast or its image and had not received the mark on their foreheads or on their hands. They came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. The rest of the dead did not come to life until 1,000 years were ended. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy are those who share in the first resurrection. The second death, it has no power over them, but they will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with him for 1,000 years.
Thank you. Secondly, these are the first four main verses talking about the coming of Christ. And then next, these next verses we're going to read, this millennial reign will bring salvation of national Israel. And so these next verses are going to talk about the saving of Israel. And so let's read Ezekiel 37, verses 21 and 22. Joel?
Then say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will take the people of Israel from the nations among which they have gone, and will gather them from all around and bring them to their own land. And I will make them one nation in the land on the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be king over them all, and they shall no longer be two nations and no longer divided into two kingdoms.
Thank you. Zephaniah 3, 19 and 20.
Hang on, I got to get back to 19 here.
It's all right.
It wandered. Okay. Thanks for bearing with me. Behold, at that time I will deal with all your oppressors, and I will save the lame and gather the outcast, and I will change their shame into praise and renown in all the earth. At that time, I will bring you in, at the time when I gather you together, for I will make you renowned and praised among all the peoples of the earth when I restore your fortunes before your eyes, says the Lord.
Thank you. Man, that's a good one. All right. Romans 11. 26 and 27.
And in this way, all Israel will be saved. As it is written, the deliverer will come from Zion. He will turn godliness away from Jacob. And this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins.
Thank you, Drew. And then lastly, it's a part of our fundamental truth number 14 is that in the establishment of universal peace, Isaiah 11, 6 through 9. Let me come back here. All right, Tara, there you go.
The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed their young ones, shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the suckling child shall play on the hole of the asp. And the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. Sorry, don't know. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the seas.
Thank you, dear. Yeah. Psalm 72, verses 3 through 8. Missy?
Let the mountains bear prosperity for the people, and the hills in righteousness. May he defend the cause of the poor of the people, give deliverance to the children of the needy, and crush the oppressor. May they fear you while the sun endures, and as long as the moon throughout all generations. May he be like the rain that falls on the mown grass, like showers that water the earth. In his days, may the righteous flourish, and peace abound till the moon be no more. May he have dominion from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth.
Amen. Amen. And lastly, Micah 4, 3 and 4.
And he will judge between the peoples, and will settle disputes, strong nations far and wide. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. Everyone will sit under their own vine and under their own fig tree, and no one will make them afraid, for the Lord Almighty God has spoken.
Amen. 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 Let's pray, church. Father, these next few moments, we just ask that you'd guide us. We pray that your word would not return void, but we say thank you for your word and your promises, that they're yes and amen. And God, we just say thank you that you're going to redeem Israel, you've redeemed us, and you've grafted us into the tree. And God, we just pray for our brothers and sisters right now in Israel, that God, the veil would be taken off their eyes, that they would see Messiah, and they would know the promises, God, of old are still there for them, Jesus, today. In your name we pray. Amen. And amen. Man, isn't it great to hear God's word and to hear it from all different voices, right? Let his word be proclaimed amongst all people. Well, in this truth here we're dealing with, the main portion of this is in Revelation 20. Let me go back to the first slide here. In this first portion, the really main portion is Revelation 20, 1 through 6 is where we get the millennial reign of Christ. This is the only portion of Scripture really talks about specifically the millennial reign, the 1,000 years. Of Jesus ruling and reigning on earth. Now, other portions of Scripture talk about the king will come back and he'll reign, but this is where we get our belief from. And this is where I'm going to be speaking from majority of today is coming out of this. Revelation 20 has caused no small controversies in the church over the centuries. I don't know how many of you have heard about the millennial reign before today? You've heard about it, yep, okay. Right, you've probably heard different views on it, right? It's real, or it's metaphorical, or it's not even a thing, right? There's all these different, not necessarily maybe controversies or dissensions about it. But my view and our view here, the Assemblies of God and Crossman view, is that it's literal. In Revelation 20 here, it says six times he'll reign for 1,000 years, or 1,000 years the devil will be bound. Six times. It's very specific with the time frame. And if you study numbers in Scripture, Scripture uses certain numbers very specifically for things. Seven is the mark of completion. Right, it usually represents Jesus, God the Father, a holistic redemption. Six represents the number of man. And even in the ancient times, in Roman times, Greek and Roman literature, six represented man. There was a form of numbers called grammatia, which is where it was your name would have numbers attached to it, or certain names would add up certain numbers. And that was an ancient practice, even amongst the Christians and amongst people. And so numbers were important. So when Scripture mentions one number multiple times within a short verse, we probably should pay attention. And once again, you read the verses before and after, and it kind of gives us the context. And the context seems to be that the 1,000 reigns is a literal 1,000 years. Now, you may ask yourself, well, Pastor Dan, why would Jesus do that? He can do whatever he wants, all right? He can do whatever he wants. He could pick 2,000 years, 5,000 years. Now, why is he going to come back and reign for 1,000 years, then release Satan again, and then destroy everybody? The Scripture, I will say to myself, I can't always answer that. Other than, you know what, I think God wants to show the enemies of himself that, hey, I can let you out and still take you down. And you're still not going to defeat me. I can come and do whatever I please. The Psalm says that our God reigns in the heavens. He does whatever he pleases. And we have to remember that. And so I know some of us, we want concrete. The only concrete thing I can offer you today is that Scripture is true. Jesus is going to come back and reign for 1,000 years, and we get to be with him. Outside of that, like I said it from the beginning, we don't all know. But it shouldn't cause a controversy among us. We should be hopeful that he's coming. But I want to point out to you just a few things here. I've got a few points here about Revelation 20. Revelation 20, to understand Revelation 20, we have to go to the Old Testament. And I don't know about you, but did you just hear when we read how many Old Testament verses we just read? The Revelation 20 can only be explained in the Old Testament. Once again, as Christians in the modern 21st century, it's been said by one pastor, you know, we need to unhitch from the Old Testament, or the Old Testament's no longer vital or important. It wasn't vital to the new church. And that is a lie of the enemy, because the Old Testament and God's promises, his words, his prophecies for our hope and our future. And so I would encourage you to understand the thousand years, you have to understand the Old Testament. And what was the hope of the Israelite? What was the hope of humanity? In Isaiah and Jeremiah, we talked about this morning, it said that God said that he would take his message and would save the far seafaring nations and the people of islands out in to the ends of the earth. That's you and I, that God had a plan to work to redeem all people. And this Revelation 20, this is going to be the culmination of where we get to rule and reign with Christ and be with him. Now, once I said, you've got to understand the Old Testament. I encourage you today, when you go home, you can download every week, as you know, you can download the sermon notes from our website. Go through all these Old Testament verses. There's a lot of Old Testament verses. And I know I don't understand all the Old Testament verses. I mean, I'm constantly going through learning them. But I would encourage you, if you haven't read a lot of the Old Testament, go home and just read through it. Come back with questions. Talk to some of our elders here. Come talk to me, and we'll dive through some of these scriptures. But you've got to understand what was once again, we said in the beginning of Revelation, if you don't have the right view of Jesus, it's going to skew Revelation. And if you don't have the right view of the Old Testament, you're going to think, oh, that's the old. That's I don't need to know that. That's meaningless. I mean, all I need is Jesus. And yes, all you need is Jesus. But you got to understand, what was Jesus? Why did he come? In the Old Testament, it tells us, why did he come? And what are him and the Father going to do in the future? So here's six quick points for us today is this. First is this, Christ will visibly reign. Isaiah 2, 3 and 4, and it says this. It says, many people shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations, and shall decide disputes for many peoples. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. First is this, Christ is going to be visible in his reign, and everybody's going to have to come, everything's going to come to a standing still point. The nations are going to know, whoa, the king's back. The people, the government, everybody's going to know the king's back, yeah. And he's going to be visible. So the first thing about the millennial reign, it's going to be visible. It's not going to be secret. It's not going to be Jesus going to be over here hidden because he's scared. And what's going to happen with NATO and America and the Middle East and Iraq and Iran and Saudi? And no, Jesus is going to be like, guess who's back? The king's back. Y'all are going to see me. Now you think, well, that sounds cocky. Well, no, Jesus can be cocky. We get to be his humble servants. Jesus can be firm. Jesus, his name has been tarnished and his saints have been martyred. He gets to come back and avenge himself. And he has every right to, because we are the clay. All of us are his clay. But it's going to be visible, which is so cool. Everyone is going to see him, and we're going to be with him. Isaiah's description here is an age of total peace. Zechariah goes on to say, in Zechariah 14, he says, the Lord will be king over all the earth. It's not metaphorical. It's literal. It's over all the things. He made them all. Yeah, amen. I agree. Amen. He's going to be over all the things. So that's the first point, is that the millennial reign, it's visible. All right. Second is this, the church will reign with him. Now, church, our golden age of the church was not the first century. You've heard me say this before. We are not looking to go back to the first century church. I hate when pastors say, we need to get back to a first century church. No, we should live with expectation of the first century church. We should live in the spirit like they did. We should share. We should have meals, give of our resources, right? Like they did, sell a property, take care of believers in the midst. Yeah, but church, our goal is not them. Once again, we're not looking backwards. What are we looking to? Man, the king is coming. He's coming. And so second of all, we get to rule and reign with him, but we have to have the right view and be looking to the future that the best is yet to come, that we're going to be with him. We're going to have glorified bodies, no more sickness, no more disease. You know, right? I'm getting my hair back. It's coming back, right? Come on. We're excited, right? But that's not the big thing. The big thing is I get to see my Jesus, right? We get to hang out with him. But I want to. But this second point, the church will reign with him. Consider these two points. 1 Corinthians 6:2 says this. Paul writes, he says, or do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And then 2 Timothy 2:12 says, if we endure with him, we will also reign with him. Scripture we know is poignant and specific, and it's not flippant. And so we are going to reign in him during this thousand years. Now, once again, I'm going to be very honest. I don't know what that looks like. What does that look like? Scripture doesn't tell us. Scripture says that there's thrones and that there's the apostles sit on the thrones and then there's going to be judgment. What does that look like when Christ said we're going to rule with him and reign with him? We don't know all that. But can I tell you, church, it's okay to have a mystery. Is it okay not to know everything? To trust the king? Just like you trust your mom or dad. I remember as a kid trusting your mom or dad because they are good. And just like, you know, Mr. Beaver said to Lucy, the king, he's not safe, but he's good. The king is good. So we don't know what's going to happen, but we know we get to reign with him. And it's going to be good. So second of all, the church will reign with him. Zechariah 13:1 says this. It goes on, I'm jumping ahead of my notes here. In Revelation 26, it says that they will reign with him for 1,000 years and they'll be able to judge. And John saw these thrones and the judgment. So whatever he saw, once again, Christ and God the Father didn't give him the full revelation in the sense of every little detail like we would like. They gave him the big picture. And I want to encourage you just to relax in the big picture knowing that we're going to reign with him. Third is this, spiritual life will come to Israel. And this morning in our Growing Deeper class, we were talking about Israel and some of them, the Israelites, the current Jews, they don't know Christ. The ones that are here in America and spread around the world, they don't know Christ, the veil, they're blinded to Messiah, right? But in this time, spiritual life will come to Israel. Jeremiah spoke of a day when the law would be written on in Israel's hearts, Jeremiah 31:33. Ezekiel saw a day of dry bones coming to life. He was speaking to Israel, and that's in Ezekiel 37:1-4. I'd encourage you to read that because, boy, that'll put some fire in your bones. That'll give you some hope that God redeems and restores. Zechariah 12:10, he talks about a further day, a future day, when Israel would have the spirit of grace and the prayer of mercy and mourning over them. And so all the Old Testament writers talked about one day Israel would know the Messiah and they would come back to life. They would not reject Messiah and they would follow his ways. He went on to say in Zechariah 13:1, he went on to say, quote, and on that day there shall be a fountain, opened up for the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to cleanse them from their sin and uncleanliness. One day the Jews that have rejected Messiah from Jesus' death all the way to this time, that's going to be lifted, that veil, that blindness is going to be lifted. And they're going to see, oh, Jesus was the promised one of the prophets. From Zephaniah, Ezekiel, Isaiah, Jeremiah. Oh, Jesus was it. Whoa, we were blind for 2,100 years. Oh, my goodness. He's the man. This is him. They're going to find that hope. Just like you and I remember that day when Christ entered our life. I remember that day, 1999. I was driving in my little car. I remember that day Christ came in. I remember that day. How many of you remember that day? And man, you didn't know where you were going to go or be, but man, you could feel something's going on. Oh, I knew my sin, but I knew ultimate grace and radical love and forgiveness. But I also knew radical accountability and self-awareness and that sin was real. Heaven was real. Hell was real. Christ was real. You ever been there? Remember that day when you met Jesus? I remember that day. Israel's going to experience that. They're going to know, oh, this was the promised one. And they're going to come to life. There's going to be a renewal of Israel. And they're going to realize what Romans 11:25 said, where Paul said that there was a partial hardening has come upon Israel during the current church age. During this current age, there was a hardening over Israel. But when Jesus comes back, that's going to be lifted. And they're going to realize what Paul said. My fellow brothers and sisters, my fellow Israelites have been hardened and they've been blinded. But then Israel is going to come to life. So that's point number 3. They're going to come to life. This revival of Israel will start in the tribulation, but it's kind of going to come to fruition at the millennial reign. And Israel is going to be redeemed. And we're going to be able to be alongside of our brothers and sisters. Second is this. The fourth thing is the spiritual life will come to the nations. Amen. We need some spiritual revitalization in America here. Now, you may be thinking, well, Pastor Dan, wait a minute. Aren't we believers here? Aren't people in America believing and praying? The answer is yes. Is God doing things right now in Sioux City, in our church? The answer is yes. He's doing things in your home, yep. In your neighborhoods? Is he doing things at Heartland Baptist, Morningside, Sioux City, Elevate, Sunnybrook? Yes, God's doing things. Yes, he's moving. But this is talking about in a total eclipse of the world. The nations are going to come to spiritual life. And God, and you may think, well, that's going to be pretty cool. It is going to be cool. Now, Israel won't be alone in this. The fourth element, like I just said, is that the nations will come to spiritual life. The prophets made it clear that the earth will experience a population explosion during the millennia. And that's, once again, that's why I got to go back and study the Old Testament. They talked about during this peace and reign, when the king would reign, that there was going to be more boys and girls being born. People were going to sing and dance, going to eat together, jubilation. We're going to be with the king. And so there's going to be this population explosion, people growing. The curse is, remember, the curse will be gone. When the curse is gone, think about how many babies will live. Think about that. Think about how people are not going to die from cancer, disease, right? I mean, it breaks my heart. You know, you ever watched the Iowa Hawkeye game and they turn and they wave to the kids? I mean, all those kids, what's going to happen when the curse is gone? You and I will reign for 1,000 years and life will be what we were supposed to be. It's going to be amazing. They're going to come to life. The curse will be suspended. Isaiah and Jeremiah said the infants will no longer die. But in Jeremiah 30:20, Isaiah 65:20, they said, both the prophets said, they will fill out their days so that the death at age 100 would seem bygone years. That was yesterday. Now we get to live long and live a long time. Humans will repopulate the earth more and more. And then Micah 4, chapter 4, verses 1 through 4 says, it shall come to pass, as we read it, later in the days that the mountains of the house of the Lord will be established at the highest of all the mountains. And it shall be lifted up above the hills. The people shall flow into it. And many nations shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of Jacob, the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between many peoples and shall decide disputes for strong nations far away. For they shall beat their swords into plowshares. And it ends that verse saying that the peace will come upon the earth. Church, during this time, the nations are going to come to life. Now, do we know what that looks like? No. It just says that they know they're going to want to go and be with the house of the Lord. They're going to want to go gather and see the king. They want to come gather with the people. Now, what does that look like? We don't know. Who knows what it's going to look like? Will all the people of the nations, will we be gathered together in the new Jerusalem, all that? We don't know. I mean, are we going to be here? I don't know. I can't answer that for us. All I know is people are going to be knocking the doors down to get to Jesus and get to his people. We're not going to need invites. We're not going to need flyers or little mailers. Or we're not going to have to constantly, how many of you constantly ask your neighbors, your coworkers, come to church, come know Jesus. Hey, just come with me to Community Eats, right? And they don't come. But at this time, they're going to be beating the doors down and the nations will come to life. It's going to be amazing. Joy and happiness as will overflow the earth. And biblical justice will reign throughout the world. Isaiah 11:9 reminds us that the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Man, it's going to be great that time. Number 5, Satan will be bound. Woohoo! During this time, he's going to be bound. And the curse will be lifted. No more deception, no more lies. The father of lies, no more, not the schemer. The schemer is going to be bound. Man, it's going to be amazing. Think about what it'd be like to have the Holy Spirit in you, knowing you, and you be able to hear him without the accuser on the other side, in the lies and the schemes. Well, how easy is that going to be? In this sense, I'm not saying it's going to be easy, but just flippantly easy. But how much easier will that be to follow and know the King, hear his voice, and know that he placed the deposit of the Holy Spirit inside of us as a deposit of our salvation, and we'll be able to experience that fullness. Now, there in Revelation 20 here, it says that Satan's going to be bound for 1,000 years. It says at the end of these 1,000 years, the book's going to be opened, and those who belong to death and Hades, along with Satan, will be thrown out of God's presence into the lake of fire. That's Revelation 20:10 and verses 13 through 15. There's an end judgment coming for Satan and his cronies and all those who push Jesus away. And I want to encourage you, church, we are like the prophet Jeremiah. When we go out and witness and preach Jesus, we don't go out condemnation, point fingers, being like, you scum dogs, you know, may you rot in hell. No, we go out like Jeremiah weeping. Come know the Savior who's forgiven to 1,000 generations. Come know the one who's righteous and true. Oh, he's holy. Oh, he lives in an unapproachable light. Oh, but he's approachable. He's closer than a brother. We go out and preach that Jesus. And that you must know him. There's a coming day. Satan's going to know that. And what's interesting is this. Right now, when someone hits their thumb with a hammer, what do they say first? They take Jesus' name in vain, right? Isn't it funny? No other God's name is used in vain when we get hurt. Have you ever thought about that? You ever thought about that? Across all nations. I mean, I've been in another country, maybe been on mission trips. I've heard people in other languages on mission trips, they do something, and what do they say? They say JC or GD. But you're a pagan. Don't even believe in this guy, but you're going to curse his name? Isn't it interesting? At this time, Jesus' name is going to be rightly lifted back up to its holy reverence. During the millennial reign, they're not going to be cursing God's name, using it in vain. We're going to use it in holiness and splendor and honor and majesty. Right? It's going to be done away with. And what's interesting is Satan's work, even his lie to use Christ's name in vain and get us to use it when we hit our thumb or, you know, stub your toe, it's going to backfire on him. He's going to be bound. And the name of Jesus he's so tried to rub out will be lifted high and rightful in its rightful place. And lastly, number 6, nature will be reborn. Woohoo! The curse is lifted. We're going to be with each other. We're going to reign with Christ. There's a hope in the future, and nature will be reborn. This is the last point. The earth's topography in the wilderness and the dry land will become lush and fertile. Isaiah 35:1 talks about that. Thorns and briars are going to be replaced by huge trees, providing clean air and shelter. Isaiah 55:13. It's interesting. I want to tell everybody, Jesus is the original eco-friendly dude. All right? All right? He's better than all these Bill Gates, all these guys, you name it. He's better than all these guys, all right? Jesus is going to restore what it was, all right? So tell people. People say that Christians don't believe in the environment, taking care of the environment. Tell them that's baloney. And start reading the Old Testament and read them about the new heavens and the new earth and what we should do. Joel 2:24-26 talks about there's going to be food for everyone. Everything's going to be organic and people can afford it. It's going to be amazing, all right? Yeah, no more giving our money to Whole Foods or Hy-Vee, right? Boom, we're going to give it to the King, right? Or grow it on our own, yeah. Or come see Darlene. Darlene, yes, all your hard work's going to be rewarded. All your organic food, yes, it's going to be rewarded. The animal kingdom, no more predators, right? Woohoo! Right? All right, what does that look like? Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought about practical? There's a vein of theology called practical theology. Have you ever thought practically, what will this look like? You understand lions weren't designed to have teeth. I mean, we know that, right? I mean, I don't know if you know that. We know that after the curse, then came death. Then the animals began to eat one another. You know, but in the garden, that was not the plan. That was not the plan. We, you know, even for some of us, and our diets have changed over the years. God's given us permission, like he told the Apostle Peter, you can eat meat and all that. But to a degree, that wasn't what our bodies were designed for. But think about that. When all this is lifted, the animals are going to be back. We read today in Isaiah 11 and Isaiah 65 that, man, we can hang out with lions and bears and tigers. Oh, my, woo. We can hang out with snakes. We can hang out with wolves. I love wolves personally, but, you know, I'm not going to be able to hang out with a wolf, you know. I don't know. Be a buddy with them. I don't know. Anyhow, but humanity's going to flourish. The earth's going to be reborn. Creation's going to flourish for 1,000 years. The mountains. I was telling the class this morning, I mean, we were at the Grand Tetons this summer. Think about this. I mean, I was sitting there on the top of the Grand Tetons thinking, oh, my goodness, God, how great are you? And this was amazing. But think about when that mountain that's going to be restored to what it was. What is that going to be like? Whoa, why am I thinking this is the best it is? Heck no. The best is to come. It's coming. So earth will be reborn in church. This is something we can have a hope to see earth and what it was going to be like, what the good King gave for us. We can want that. That's a great thing. And Isaiah and Jeremiah, they both go on to say, I don't know if you heard there, but Isaiah and Jeremiah, they're buddies. I encourage you, read those books constantly. If you haven't read them, read Isaiah and Jeremiah. Isaiah says there's going to be much less disability. He talks about how things are going to be healed and bones. Man, cancer is going to be done away with. Dementia, Alzheimer's, all that's going to wipe away. Man, it's going to be amazing. You know, I hate it when I see people on this earth. Man, you know, how many of you? I mean, anytime I go, I try to pay people, pray for healing, divine healing. I don't know why God doesn't heal all the time. I don't know why, church, you know. I see him heal, but he doesn't heal. But I know one day, it's all going to be healed. Yeah. And that's the promise I look for. I hope with you, the dominion that we lost underneath Adam is going to be restored. It's going to be restored. And that's our hope. And so what is the point of all this? What's the point of the millennial? What's the point of Christ coming back and us reigning with him and the earth being restored, our bodies being healed, us being in right relationship with one another, with the King and with the animals? It's this. It's that Jesus is coming back to renew all things and to reign over all things, period. That's the millennial reign, all right? And we don't have to be afraid of it. I'm going to encourage you today. You know, we were talking today in class. There's a lot of things going on in Israel and the Middle East. It's scary, right? But church, we don't have to fear any dictator. We don't have to fear any communist government, the American government, any socialist government, any dictator in Africa, the Middle East, anybody. Man, they can kick rocks because my King will reign over all things. He has the power to break nations and to raise nations. He has the power to heal our bodies, to provide food, to give us money. So why do we fear and why do we fret? The King's coming back to reign. And all their little schemes, all their machinery, all their guns and their ammo, all blah, 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 it's going to be like, Jesus going to be, I mean, he's way better than Superman. The only analogy I have is Superman. Jesus is going to be like, yeah, nice try, buddy, nice try. And so, church, this is the point of the millennial reign. He's coming back to renew you and I and reign. We have so much to rejoice for. Even in these days where it seems hard, seems gloom, and then we'll just speak about America. Let's just be real, in America. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. He's coming. And that's the point. I heard it this week. Someone said that a pastor's job is to help people know the voice of this book and then the voice of the King. The voice of the King to us is, I'm coming back. I'm going to renew you, and I'm going to reign over everything. Take it easy, my children. Take it easy. Relax. Enjoy what I've given you now. The best is yet to come. That is what he's calling us to do. Lastly, if you're here today and you don't know Christ, as always, every week we're going to do a gospel presentation. Today, you can be renewed and made whole again through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. You don't have to wait till the millennial reign. And if you're here today and you're not following Christ, or maybe you are and you're kind of flip-floppy, you're playing the flip-floppy game, I encourage you, be all in. Jesus died. Jesus wasn't a flip-floppy Savior. Jesus paid the price, but he came back to life. He went all in for you and I today. And so this is the gospel. You know, Romans 3:23, right? For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 5:8, but God shows us his love that we were still sinners. Man, Christ died for us. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of your own doing. It's a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. In Romans 10:9-10, it's a great one. Because if we confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that Christ, that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. Amen. Amen. So I hope today you all have been renewed here in calling his name. If you don't know Christ, come up afterwards and I'll pray with you and you can know him. But today, church, he's going to reign and he's going to renew. That's the whole hope of the millennial reign of Christ. It's going to be literal. It's going to be more than what we can think or imagine, but he's coming. He's coming. I told the class somewhere, I'm telling you, he's in the stable. He's feeding the horse, petting it. He's getting it ready. They're doing their pregame stretches. They're getting all stretched out. They're coming. He's warming it up. I mean, I don't know. I don't know how horses. I never had a horse, but I can imagine all things you got to do to get a horse ready. Jesus is getting it all ready. He's sharpening the sword. Whoo! He's saying, all right, troops, get ready. We're coming to save and redeem. So, church, that's our hope today. So, stand with me here. Let's pray as we're done. Let's stand and let's honor the King. And let's go out today with the hope that we'll be redeemed and renewed. So let's pray, church. Father, we say thank you. God, we end on hope and victory that we're going to be renewed and you're going to reign. God, we say thank you that, God, you're coming for us, that you're true and that you're faithful and that your promises hold fast. And so, God, go with us today. God, may we go out with hopeful expectation. God, may we go out with a hopeful eschatology that, God, that the end times are not scary, but they're a hopeful time. That, Jesus, you're coming, and we're going to see you face to face, and you're going to take care of us. God, I pray for anyone today that's struggling with fear and anxiety. God, I pray that, God, you would cast that. I pray that the enemy would be bound in their minds and their hearts. God, that he would be bound in their finances and their marriages and their homes. God, and for our youth, our kids, our babies in the nursery, I pray that, God, the enemy would be silenced. In the name of Jesus, and that, God, we would walk out in strength and power and might and confidence that we have a loving Savior who paid the price for us and who rose again and who is coming again for us. God, I pray that you'd make yourself known to every man and woman, boy and girl in this building. God, and every man, woman, boy and girl in Sioux City, that, God, you would make your presence known, that the veil would be lifted. God, for our Jewish brothers and sisters, for our Gentile brothers and sisters, that Jesus, they would see you, Jesus, that we'd go out and we would witness you, Jesus. We would witness of and tell of all your goodness, Jesus. We say thank you for all you're doing. Thank you, God, for everything you're doing in this time, in this congregation, in this time of our country, in our city and state. God, we lift it up to you. God, we intercede right now, church. We intercede, God, for the lost souls of Sioux City, for our neighbors, our friends, our spouses, our loved ones, our nieces and nephews, our aunts and uncles, our grandparents that don't know you, God. We lift them up to you, Jesus. And we say, draw them to you, God. Draw all men to you, God, as you will one day when you reign. Begin that process today, Jesus. God, help us to draw men to you, Jesus. We lift you high. We declare our allegiance to you, God. We lift up your name, Jesus, in this place and in our homes, in our neighborhoods, in our jobs. God, we lift the name of Jesus higher and mightier than anything. God, we just pray that men would see you and women would see you, Jesus. God, go with us today. Give us vision for this next year. God, be with us in this Christmas season. May we know your sweetness and your sweet presence, Jesus. And we say thank you. And God, we say it's to the King and to the restoration. Amen. In your name we pray. Amen.